B-Pod Studios.
Felger.
I don't know, guys. Am I going to play? Am I not going to play? What am I going to do?
Maz.
Yeah, Maz, you stupid. S-T-O-O. Stupid Maz.
It's time for Felger and Maz, presented by DraftKings on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Teams are preparing that they're going to start recalling their players in the marketplace. Many players have returned, have stayed in marketplace, are working out of facilities. Many more around the league have to return, and the league is not going to call the players back to quarantine and then start to ramp up for training camp unless they've made the decision to move forward on resuming the season. And barring something unforeseen, Sage, at this point, that is the league's plan, to move forward and play games again this season and try to crown a champion.
All right, here we go. Guess who's not here today? Guess who's not here today, bitches? No Felger today. Maz coming here from my home studio here. Jim Murray and Joe Murray, the Murray brothers, at our studio in Dorchester. 617-779-0985 is your number here on Felger and Maz. We got a lot to get to today. Holy crap, do we have a ton to get to today. A lot going on in the world of sports. Before we even get to that, let me just say quickly hello to the Murrays, Jim and Joe in Dorchester. Fellas, how you doing?
Good. You?
Hey, Tony.
We're sitting here like Axe and Smash of Demolition, the Murray brothers.
Ah. Okay, so Murray, obviously you're continuing your impersonation of me from yesterday. That was just a lead-in on the simulcast, not that the radio listeners could hear that, but if you want to continue with your imitations of Maz this afternoon, it would be more than welcome.
Good, you.
We do have a lot to get to.
We even
made a little room, Murray, Jim Murray, for some fun.
Oh.
We made just a little bit of room for some fun, which we will get to later in the program, but big developments in the NBA concerning the return of that sport. Certainly some developments in baseball that I want to touch on and some comments from players in Major League Baseball that I think are worth hitting on. If you're listening to the Midday program, otherwise known as Zolak and Bertrand, just want to make sure I get that out there so they don't get their panties in a bunch. Interesting new trailer about a project Tom Brady is working on. We'll have a couple of guests on during the course of the day, one of whom will be making his debut on the Felger and Maz program. We'll get to all of that. And certainly Joe Murray will give us some updates on things you may want to wager on. Always a good thing to talk about when Joe is in studio. So what you heard there was Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, all-knowing NBA reporter. Nobody more tapped into the NBA than Woj. And I'll just give you the particulars of his latest report. I think they are noteworthy for obvious reasons, because they indicate an actual defined plan for a league getting back on the floor or into the arena with or without fans, in this case, the NBA. And the plan is basically this, that on June 1st, NBA teams will recall their players into camp. Those players will then quarantine for 14 days, a couple of weeks. They will then participate in effectively a month-long training camp that'll include a week or two of individual workouts and then 2 or 3 weeks of training camp, with the idea of being back on the floor sometime in the middle of July, which, again, if you play out the calendar between finishing the regular season and then the postseason, if the NBA plays it out and they finish their regular season games, which it sounds like they want to, or at least a portion of it, and then play into the postseason, effectively, what you're talking about there is games that'll take them into early August. They'll play through August and even potentially into the middle of October if it takes them that much time to finish the postseason, which is something we've talked about here from the very beginning, that they could then push back the start of 2021, begin that around Christmas time or in the month of December, and be able to get all the games in. But obviously, all of it contingent now upon getting back into the arenas and back on the floor to conclude the 19-20 season. And as you heard Adrian Wojnarowski say, Adam Silver is intent on playing a full playoffs, 4-7-game series. He doesn't want any sort of asterisk next to this this season if and when a championship or a champion is crowned. And that means the playoffs in the NBA basically take two months. So that is where we stand. Let's start with this. I'll ask Jim and then Joe, both of you, just fire away. First of all, what are your thoughts on this latest news?
I like it, and I also like that it essentially will force their hand to an idea that was thrown out there at the Sloan Analytics convention going back, you know, pre-COVID, when one of the guys who's the owners of the Atlanta Hawks, I think it's Steve Koonin is his name, said, you know, he's looking to have the league, the NBA, eventually start around Christmas time. And I think that's when most casual fans actually start tuning in. So I like that it's going to force their hand, and maybe that'll become the new normal in the NBA. I'm for any of these sports coming back at this point. But so far, this plan seems like, you know, logistically it can work as long as they have most of the players, and at least the most important players like your LeBrons and Giannis is on board, that people are going to tune in. I mean, I still think it sucks with any of these sports that you're not going to have fans. But again, new normal, that's how it's going to be at least for the rest of the year. But at least it feels like they have something solid in place, and I like that.
Yeah, I just like the fact, Tony, that they actually have a plan in place. If you read about 2 weeks ago, Silver didn't even know what he wanted to do. Like, he didn't even know when he was going to make a decision. And there was a lot of talk about not even playing basketball until there was some sort of cure or anything to that degree. So the fact that there's a blueprint here, I like it. I am curious, though, if some players are actually going to play. Kevin Love kind of spoke about when he was shooting around at practice, you know, they had to cleanse the ball every single time. People were wearing masks. It was just awkward for him in general, but I think this somewhat makes it more of an even playing field too, right? Like, when it comes to the NBA, it's always the star players that win. Well, you know, throw the crowds out of it, maybe throw the fact that some guys are rusty and, you know, some guys are coming back from injury as well. Maybe it makes things a little bit more interesting in a level playing field. And let's not forget, you know, players like Zion Williamson and people like that can get into the tournament, and that could make things at least a little bit more interesting. So I'm for this, but at the same time, I hope it's more of a level playing field than just the best players on the best teams winning.
Okay, so there are a lot of questions that come along with this, and Wojnarowski raised some, and we'll get to them here piece by piece. But first, let me say this, because I think we all feel the same way. This, to me, more than anything else that we have received to this point, this is a concrete blueprint. Right? It doesn't feel that way to you guys. This is a more concrete blueprint. This is specific dates and a timeline. June 1st, players are recalled. 2 weeks in quarantine. Then a week or two of individual workouts. 2 or 3 weeks of training camp. And then there you go. You're back on the floor in the middle of July. Now, the particulars after that are a little vague, and we'll get to some of that here in just a minute in terms of how many games they're going to play over the balance of the regular season, what the postseason structure will look like. We'll touch on some of that. But to me, the good news is the NBA has clearly put people on alert, put players on alert. Hey, keep your heads up. Start getting your house in order. We need to start getting ready to play. And on June 1st, you're all going to come back. We'll quarantine you for a couple of weeks, make sure everybody's clean, and then we're going to start bringing you into the facility again and getting ready to play basketball.
Well, it's a real plan. So that, you know, that is the biggest positive, especially comparatively speaking to Major League Baseball, where it is, like you said it yesterday, it's almost like a de facto labor dispute going on between the Players Association and the owners, and they should have had the easiest time to get back. They should be already talking about starting games about a month from now, and they're anything but. So this feels like a real plan.
So look, Murray, there's no question, right? This is the two sides negotiating and working together to play. And you know what the funny thing is? A lot of the particulars aren't in place yet, including the money, apparently, which Wojnarowski told us this morning. And we'll get to that. We'll play the specific sound for you in a minute. But there are a lot of things that fall out from this, one of which is something that Joe Murray just said a second ago. I hope that everybody wants to play. And I think we're starting to hear this now from the players in the leagues. There was a comment recently in the last a day or so made by the head of the NFL Players Association, the center for the Cleveland Browns, about the hurdles that are going to be necessary to get these guys back onto the field. And that's in the fall. Obviously, the NFL has more time to address that. But you have an NFL player coming right out and saying, the head of the PA saying, you know, we got to make sure this works. I'm not sure this is going to work. Matt Duchene, we played the sound yesterday here on Felger and Maz of the Nashville Predators, saying there can't be any risk for us to get back on the ice, which I think is preposterous.
The idea that there would be no risk before players can play is asinine. There's going to be risk. The question is what the teams can do to mitigate it. So, and this is a question I want to ask, and we can open up the phone lines too, because I want to ask the listeners as much as I ask you to. Because honestly, I don't know what the answer is from my point. I go back and forth on it. And before I even ask you, I want you to try to answer this question with honest parameters. Okay, I don't want you to act like some sort of tough guy. I don't want you to look at the money and say, well, if you're going to pay me $20 million, of course. The question I have for you two and for our listeners, if you were a player, would you play? Would you play? That simple. Okay, now look, I also want to draw some sort of line here to say, if you're Mike Trout and you've already got $150 million socked away, you'd be more inclined to say no than someone else, particularly if your wife is pregnant, et cetera, et cetera. So I want to try to keep this reasonable and say, let's say you're an average player in one of these leagues. You've made $20 million bucks over the course of your career. You can go out this season and you can make $5 million bucks. Would you play? Or is the risk too great? Would you go out there? Murray, Jim Murray, what about you?
I would, as long as I didn't have any kind of underlying serious health issue that I didn't know about. I'd make sure I was checked by, you know, at least a few doctors, and I wasn't married to someone who had the same issue and didn't have children with the same issues. Yes, I would absolutely play.
Yep, I'd absolutely do it, Tony. I think people have been stuck in the house for too long and, you know, want to get back to work. But again, the health is seriously a risk, whether you live with people, you know, with certain health issues or anything like that, and you're around it. The other thing is, if they're going to be in Disney, are they even going to be around their family? So the way I'd look at it, you're probably going to be there for a period of time. That's going to be there for a couple of months. I'd play, and I think you want to do that for your peers and for your teammates as well.
Would you hold it against someone who didn't want to play?
No, I understand it. And I that's not just as a professional athlete. That's just every aspect of life now, Maz. Like, I get it. I get it. If you don't want to leave your home and your team lockdown, I can respect that. Just that if that's how you want to live your life, that's how you want to go about it, I respect it. I'm not going to bug you about it. Don't bug me about how I live my life either.
Yeah, I wouldn't either. And we're already seeing it in sports, whether it's golf. You know, it's happened in WWE recently as well in wrestling. You got to respect people's decisions here. But for the most part, this is your job and they want you there. But I don't think they should be held accountable for it if they don't want to do it.
See, it's a hard game to play when you're talking about the kind of money that these guys make. Because I think that the average fan will look at it and say, well, if you pay me that money, I'll do it. If you pay me that, I'll do it. Of course I'll do it. And most people would because we don't have that kind of money. But let's say you have made some of it. Let's say you've made some of it, and now you've got to make a choice. Do you think there is a health risk there, a legitimate health risk for these players? And I do. I do. I think there's a legitimate, serious risk there. And the more we learn about this virus, certainly it's affecting people that are older, people with underlying health problems. And but I also think that everybody's circumstances are a little bit different. So believe it or not, I lean me toward not playing. The thing scares me. I'm not going to lie to you. It scares the crap out of me. But I think that the majority of players probably want to get out there and go back. Here's the last question I have for you guys. And again, I want to ask the listeners the same question. Let's say not everybody comes back. Let's say some players do, some players don't, and that the league is then compromise to a degree. And I don't want to, in the case of the NBA, we got to assume that the star players are going to be there because that changes everything. But if 80% of the best players come back in the other sports, are you still going to watch? Murray, you going to watch? Joe Murray, Jim Murray?
Oh, yeah. No, I'm absolutely going to watch. I would put an asterisk on it, though, because if you're not going to have some of your star players, if Westbrook, if Harden, if, say, LeBron, if some of these guys are going to sit out, I'm sorry. It's tainted. It's a tainted season. It's a COVID season.
Yeah, I'm going to watch no matter what. I mean, and it has nothing to do with a gambling angle or anything like that. Right now, we don't have baseball. Like, this is the time of year you have baseball. This is the time for basketball to dominate the summer season. Like, they could get out there. The ratings for the NBA are always huge around this time, and I just think that it would be must watch television, a best of seven series with the best basketball players in the world. Whether you're there or not, I think the NBA is you know, somewhat of a you know, the regular fan can like that sport. The casual fan likes that sport, so I think it would be interesting, and people would definitely be watching that for sure.
Yeah, I'm still going to watch. I mean, I need the games. I need the games. I don't know what to do with myself at night. I mean, I do worry, but
sure you do.
But you get the idea. So in any case, we're off and running. 617-779-0985. We'll get to your calls. And when we come back, you might be surprised at which team is leading the way for, or which league is leading the way for all the others to return to the arena in the world of professional sports. We'll tell you who that is when we come back.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
Colin Cowherd of Fox and Fox Sports.
Felger and Maz.
Best afternoon show in America.
Mike Felger.
Felger's a smart aleck.
Tony Maserati.
You know your baseball.
Felger and Maz.
Great show.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
If they do come back and play, what will they do? What conversations are they having about what the rest of the season and the playoffs might look like?
Well, that's a conversation ongoing between the league office and the Players Association about what's the format going to be. Regular season games. Are they going to bring all 30 teams back? Are they going to have a play-in tournament for the final couple seeds in the Eastern and Western Conference? All that's got to be collectively bargained between the players and the league. Adam Silver wants to have seven-game series in the playoffs. He doesn't want to have shortened series early on. He wants to try to legitimize the champion as much as he can. I think the biggest conversation going on among players and teams are how many teams are going to have an opportunity to jump into the playoffs, into those 16 teams. What would a potential play-in tournament look like? Because, Greeny, they've got to incentivize teams to come back, to play their key players, to be motivated, and to get fans' interest in this. And that could be at the cost of teams like Memphis and Dallas and Orlando, you know, 7-8 seeds, you know, who have, you know, have a pretty good distance between them and the rest of 9-10 and on in the conference seedings. And they've outplayed those teams significantly, but might have to still play more to get into the postseason.
So again, that's Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN talking about the scenario that will exist when NBA players return to their camps, 2-week quarantine, 1 week of workouts, then a training camp, and then they're back on the floor playing. What are they going to do? What's the format going to be? And you heard him there describe a play-in tournament. Before I even get to that, let me just say quickly, you heard him say discussions with the Players Association. The biggest obstacle, biggest point of discussion, what's it going to look like? What's the format going to be? And Mike Greenberg made reference to this morning and talking to Wojnarowski on ESPN on Get Up. But it's a point worth repeating. Murray, don't you find it refreshing when the leagues are actually talking about things pertaining to the game on the field instead of the money?
Yeah.
Because it's the exact opposite of what Major League Baseball is doing.
Yeah, because that's what they actually should be focusing on, is actually getting their business up and running again, even though it's going to be different. But let's work together so that we can put our players back out on the field or the court and get things going. Instead, we're in baseball. It's back and forth, bitch.
I mean, to me, that was one of the most notable things. The NBA lays out this plan. You don't hear anything about what are they going to get paid. Are there going to be revenue sharing? How are they going to make up for the money with the fans that aren't in the stands? You don't hear any of that. Basketball is already calling the players back. And you know what that all speaks to? Confidence. Confidence that the players have in the commissioner and in the ownership, and confidence that the commissioner and the ownership has in the players, that they're all going to try to do the right things and get back on the floor. Baseball doesn't have that. And so to me, it's striking when you think of it. Just look at what we're talking about with the NBA versus what we're talking about with MLB. Two completely different sets of issues, and yet they both have the same problem, right? It's just, to me, it's just something worth mentioning because it is striking. As for the plan that basketball has to come back, and we've debated this over the last couple of weeks because playing the regular season in a lot of ways doesn't make sense. You look at it and you say, why would you bring back teams that are out of it and increase the chances that you could have someone test positive and then spread the virus to other players or other executives or whoever that are inside that quote-unquote bubble? The fewer people that are in there, the better. But the NBA has a different set of problems than the NHL because to honor their regional television contracts, they got to get to 70 games. They're not there yet. Okay, they're not there yet. They got about eight games or so to make up. I think most of the teams are in the low 60s in the NBA. So they got to make up those regular season games, and they have now devised this play-in tournament. And Murray, you heard Wojnarowski say there that what you could effectively have is a scenario where teams that are now on the outside looking in have to have a play-in tournament against teams that are already in. 7 and 8 seeds that are already in. No matter how big the gap is between 7, 8 and 9 and 10, they'll have to play it out. Those teams will then get in, and then you can commence the playoffs. Meanwhile, the teams at the top of the standings probably continue to play, and who knows? If I were to say, Murray, that they were to have a quote-unquote round-robin type of style, what format does that remind you of?
Oh, like the NHLs. This is what the NHL is doing, and there needs to be a bit of a cutoff. So these teams that are kind of on the outside looking in, and you know, Joe mentioned the Pelicans, who would be one of these teams in the West, who before the shutdown was, you know, flirting with that 8 seed. Like, they could have a chance. The same with Portland. Like, those two teams should have an opportunity to play that round-robin thing, how the NHL is going to do, which will allow the Blackhawks and Montreal in. But if you're like Cleveland, Golden State, the Atlanta Hawks, like, screw. You're done. Like, you didn't have a shot anyway. You were lottery-bound. See ya.
Mm. Yeah, well, so those teams are probably going to have to play just because of the TV contracts.
I guess.
Right?
But
yeah, so look, I just think, again, the NBA has a different set of problems. They're going to have to play. But the format is very similar to what we've been discussing with the NHL. And I just think that's a little bit of a departure from what we've seen from these leagues over the last several years. Typically, the NBA is the one leading the way, and I think in many ways they are again now. But this format, if they go through with it, this is what the NHL is discussing.
Yeah,
the NHL sort of put that format in place first. Joe Murray, go ahead.
Yeah, I just said, the one thing I've noticed is the NBA has been very transparent on everything that they want to do here, everything that they put in place. They've been completely transparent about it. The NHL, you know, they didn't even know where they wanted to have games. They were talking Manchester, New Hampshire at one point of playing there. So, you know, at least with the NHL and what they're doing, I at least think that will be, you know, something that's competitive. But, you know, the no crowd thing is really going to be the most interesting thing about this, right? Like, home ice doesn't mean anything in hockey. I think we realized that last year in a game 7 at home for Boston. But in the NBA, I think this could be different. And, you know, maybe some of those teams that were underdogs, that those low seeds, like the crowds would get behind them. I don't think we're going to, you know, now I just, again, I'm going to go back and say, I think there's more of an even playing field. But to your point, Tony, yeah, maybe the NHL's play, maybe they communicated on this. Like, maybe that, hey, you know, we're all in this together, right? Like, maybe they communicated about how can we get both these sports back. We don't want to see any of these happen to these leagues. And the other thing with the NHL is I think they have to get this done or they're going to lose big time money. Like, I think the NBA, it would probably hit their salary cap the next year. But if the NHL doesn't play, I think that'd be devastating for the league.
So I think the leagues have been communicating, Joe. I think they've been talking from the very beginning about how to make this work for everybody because, you know, depending on where they all end up, maybe there are arena conflicts, maybe there aren't, but there could be television conflicts. And I think they absolutely have been communicating. Let's take a couple of calls. Again, 617-779-0985. We do have a couple lines open. Felger's out today. Jim Murray's alongside. Joe Murray here for headlines. Ben is in Groveland. Ben, what do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. So you guys are talking about the players returning, and that's one aspect. And I'm going to be an optimist and think positively. I think the NBA, they do want to come back. I think the stars have so much power, like LeBron. They can say, hey, we're playing. And LeBron is an MVP candidate. Lakers are a championship candidate. What's interesting to me is, let's say LeBron does get the virus or a star player does get the virus, and how the rest of the teammates and the league responds. And I think Jim Murray brought up the asterisks where, as of right now, I wouldn't have one, but if it's the Clippers or the Lakers versus the Bucks and there's no LeBron and there's no Giannis, that would definitely be an asterisk season. Thanks, guys.
Okay, so look, again, the star players in the NBA, I don't know how you play it without them and think that the final product doesn't get affected. And so,
my biggest
Murray,
thing
in terms
is,
of... Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, my biggest thing for the NBA or any of these sports, all I ask is if someone gets infected, whether it's a star like LeBron or it's a Jay Crowder, you know, bench guy, just don't shut it down. That's all that I ask. Yeah, I'd put an asterisk on if one of those guys got it and that was it. They didn't return during the playoffs, even if their team went on without them. Yeah, I mean, how can you not? Because it's like, what are we doing here? I'm glad that they're playing, but this is still tainted. But overall, just all I ask is don't shut it down. If anyone gets it, don't shut it down.
So I'll tell you what, Murray, I don't get the sense they're going to. Which brings me to Jared Dudley of the Los Angeles Lakers. A lot of people, he's been in the league a long time now. Dudley has 13 years, I think it is. He played locally here at Boston College. Not that anyone cares. I certainly don't.
No one does.
Yeah, exactly. But that aside, he did say something interesting in the last day about how the NBA is going to handle positive test cases. More importantly, how they're going to handle life inside the bubble. If you haven't heard this, I think that this actually is something that applies to all of us in our everyday lives here as we return to work, and it's something you want to listen to. Joe Murray has got your headlines, and then we'll play Jared Dudley for you when we get back.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mass.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mass.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week. Yeah, but Felga, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Jared Dudley was on a podcast, and he had these thoughts on what it'll look like if they're able to come back and play.
I think that people are getting a misconception. If not, it's going to be a bubble in a sense of, hey, here's going to be your hotel where you stay at. Here's going to be the gym where you're playing at. But you will be allowed to leave. Michelle Roberts have said it, and even Adam Silver on the conference call. Now, just because you leave, you know, like, if we're going to give you that leeway, if you come back with corona, you can't play. So we're going to be tested all the time. And so it would be smart of teams. So like Braun, AD, and all the top guys that we have, we'll be wrapping them in bubble and not letting them go anywhere. Let's just be honest. They can't leave. And so and you would want that to be a team rule.
Can't get this Jared Dudley on a podcast. That sound was played this morning on Get Up, ESPN, but Dudley's podcast certainly on the web. It's been out there now for about a day or so. I saw these comments last night. And I thought there's some parts of this that I actually found pretty interesting, most notably that there weren't going to be the kind of restrictions on these players that we have thought there were going to be, and that, that there's going to be greater latitude. There's going to be more freedom. If a player wants to venture outside the bubble, he can venture outside the bubble, but he does this at his own peril. And obviously the peril of his team as well, if he is a significant player or contributor to that team. And so the bottom line is what the NBA is telling its players is, look, you want to go outside the bubble. There's nothing we can do to stop you. Ultimately, if we tell you you can't go and you go, you're still going to do it. So here's what we're going to ask. Have an obligation and be responsible and accountable to your teammates and the other people in the bubble. And if you then get the coronavirus and you can't play, you're out. That's it. And you have to answer to your teammates. Murray, do you like this or don't like it?
I mean, I guess it's the fairest thing that you're going to get, you know. It's not like they're keeping them, you know, prisoners, probably not the right term, but, you know, it's not like they're just forcing them from hotel room to the games to the hotel room, you know, going back and forth like that. They're saying, yeah, you can go out, just know there's a risk, and if you get it, well, you're done. So there should be some kind of repercussions if you do feel like, I got to go out because I'm losing my mind. I understand it. So, I don't know, if I'm in one of those players' shoes, I don't think I could stay confined. I'd go out and knowing what the repercussions are.
Yeah, and Joe? I don't want to joke about road beef, but maybe they might get a little, you know, they're going to be stuck inside a room for 2 months. You know what I mean? I'll be a single guy. Like, you know, you're in Orlando. Like, what are you going to do? You're in Disney World? Like, yeah. You're probably going to get a little curious out there.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. The more I think about it, the more I like it. I do. I like it. And I'll tell you why. Because at some point here, we have to have faith that other people are going to do the right things. And if you want to take the risk and be an a-hole, well, then that's on you. Your health and safety in that scenario is really dependent upon you. And the health and safety of others is dependent upon you. So make the right choice. Now, the obvious danger in something like this comes out if someone says, well, I don't care about my own health, I'm going to go out. Then they run the risk of really hurting their team's chances of winning and potentially affecting or infecting other people. And there's obviously major problems with that. But I think at some stage, Murray, isn't this what we're ultimately all going to face in our workplaces? That you're going to have some faith that the people you work with are doing the right things, or it's just not going to work.
Yeah, that's all. Or you just, you just kind of worry about yourself and hope that everyone else is doing the same thing. I mean, that's all. I don't make myself crazy about it. I mean, I've since been coming back in this week, and I haven't really thought about that. Like, what's Jimmy Stewart up to? What has Joe been up to? Ooh, tell me, where have you been? I need to reference every single. I wouldn't even ask that. Like, you know, like I trust that they're doing the right thing. I'm doing the right thing, and hopefully it all works out.
Well, plus some of these guys probably don't want to be in the public eye, right? I mean, Rudy Gobert, like, think about how he looks right now. I mean,
right. He's a pariah.
Exactly. And, like, Donovan Mitchell really didn't have anything wrong, no symptoms whatsoever. So I don't think anybody wants to be that guy. So maybe they'll all do what they're doing now, staying home and doing the right thing. You would hope, but if anyone does go out there, they're going to be right there in the center of attention and getting crushed for leaving the facility.
I mean, if you're one of those teams that has a chance at a championship, the Lakers, the Clippers, the Bucks, and I'll tell you what, even if you're one of the teams at the high end that might not be a championship favorite, but you're a team that's one of the top three or four in your conference, the Celtics being in that group. If you're a member of the Celtics and you see Jason Tatum walking out that door, what are you going to say to him? What you have to emphasize to that player is, hey, look, what are you going to do? Are you going to flush our season down the toilet because you got to go out and have a beer and you can't do it in a place that has already been prearranged for us to stay a little bit safer? I don't think I think ultimately what I like about it is that, particularly in the sports world, it's teammates and players holding themselves accountable. You want to step outside and screw it up, then you're going to screw it up for everybody, and you have to make that call then thinking about others. To me, I've always felt that the greater responsibility, you want to get players to act in line, punish their teammates if they do something wrong, and all of a sudden there's greater sense of responsibility there. And to me, guys are going to have to answer for that. Ethan is in Pawtucket. Ethan, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on? So I think that the rules, you know, like you said, if people hold themselves accountable, but what about like a death or a birth, other family emergency? Like, I think it's fair that they'd be able to leave for that.
Okay, so again, Ethan, a lot of these guys are going to be able to leave no matter what. That's what Dudley's telling you. That's what he's telling you. Now, look, I don't know what it's going to be like a month from now, but if there were funerals and family gatherings at that time, great. You know, certainly I think we've all had friends or family or extended family and friends who've passed away in the last couple of months that haven't been able to have services of any kind. I don't need to tell you it happened to Scott Zolak at this very station. Zoe returned home for a couple of days, but it's not as if his family was able to have the kind of service or ceremony they wanted to have for his dad. So, you know, there were going to be those kinds of restrictions, I think, no matter what, but they are in place that are beyond the sports world is really what I should say. But I think a lot of these guys are going to have more freedoms. And I'll tell you what, Murray, again, I'm not against it. I think it's a good way to go.
Yeah. I wonder if some of these guys, if they got tattled on, I guess, by one of their teammates, if they'd look at that guy as a rat, you know? It's just about, it's a way to hold each other accountable. I understand that. But I think you're asking for trouble on that end, too.
Oh, look, I think there's trouble no matter what. The more I think about it, there's trouble no matter what. And the question then becomes, how do you deal with it if you're the league? And what types of restrictions can you put on people? Because at the end of the day, even if you put restrictions in place, there are still going to be people who break the rules. That's a given. That is always going to happen. I asked this question earlier. I'll ask it again. If you're a player in one of these leagues, would you be comfortable playing? Joe Murray, just a second ago, didn't you report Adam Scott says he's not going to play in the PGA events because he's not comfortable with the safety measures for the players. Is that right?
Yeah, Adam Scott said he's skeptical of the PGA Tour's coronavirus health and safety plan. Obviously, he's an Australian, so he's going back home. He's had a decent year. But yeah, his initial reaction to everything, he just right now he has concerns. You know, the little dialogue he said he had with the tour, he hopes to return, you know, after a few events, but it looks like he may miss the next seven events because of this.
Okay, and again, this is a golfer we're talking about. Like, there is no more perfect social distancing sport out there than golf. That Adam Scott is not alone. You're starting to hear this more from the players
and Tony,
in leagues.
Just to add, sorry about that. His problem is that he doesn't want to contact it and then self-quarantine for 2 weeks and then stop. He doesn't want the possible chance of having it, then stop, and then coming back. That's his big issue with it. And just to bring something else up, the UFC 2 weeks ago, a week ago, they had someone test positive.
Right.
I know you guys talked about it in their corner, but everyone was tested, and the show went on. They had three events in 8 nights. Everybody was tested. Only those three people tested positive. But they didn't send everybody home. The show went on. But I feel like he feels that the way the PGA Tour rules are is that they're going to isolate you if anyone is around it. He just doesn't want to go with the 2 weeks of isolation and then like the stop and go play. And that's his biggest concern.
So I wonder how many athletes and how many different sports have these sort of concerns. And again, I think we're starting to get some indication now that it might be more common in some of these leagues than we think. We'll tell you who some of those players are when we come back.
Boston's home for sports. Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Doing what they do best.
Now talk about soap opera.
Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is a contact disease, and we play a contact sport. So the way this thing passes along is through contact, and that's what we do for a living. And the way we interact with each other at the facility, at practice, weightlifting, at the meal room, it is us shoulder to shoulder, standing by each other, passing things around. So there is a long list of ideas we need to come up with on how to make this environment safe for us. And that's why it's going to be a lot of thinking involved in that.
So that's J.C. Treader. He's the starting center for the Cleveland Browns, also the president of the NFL Players Association, the Players Union in football. Those comments, just talking about the safety concerns from players in the NFL, and you heard him explain pretty clearly there the challenges that the NFL has relative to other sports. The NFL obviously has more time to figure this out. Proposed season would not start until early September, really even closer to mid-September. And so the NFL has plenty of time. At one point, Treader also said the virus, quote, will not kneel down to football. Okay, the almighty football will not kneel down to the almighty football. And I think you're hearing more and more of this now from athletes in the various sports. And this is something that you should consider to be a serious and major obstacle to some of these sports or games coming back. So as Joe Murray told you in the last segment, and again, I want to get to your phone call. So 617-779-0985. We do have a couple open lines, and we'll get to hear it momentarily. But Adam Scott of the PGA has already withdrawn from as many as 7 events, you said, Murray. Is that what you said?
Yes. Yep.
7 events. A golfer won't play. A golfer won't play. Yesterday, we played sound for you from Matt Duchene, center of the Nashville Predators. He was on Sportsnet Central. And express his concern over Jimmy Stewart, our producer back in Dorchester. Do we have that cut of Duchene?
Yep, all good.
Okay, so here's what Duchene said for those of you who missed it.
Let's say the NHL can resume this season. Play commissioner, what sort of format would you be comfortable with upon a return?
Well, first of all, it needs to be safe. It needs to be for the players, for the coaches, training staff, everything. It needs to be safe. We can't have any risk of anybody getting this thing. And I think that's going to be our ultimate biggest hurdle. And I think that's going to be the biggest hurdle for every sport coming back.
Okay, so Duchene says we can't have anybody having any risk of this thing. Any risk.
It's just, it's not feasible. What he said, that's a utopia. That doesn't exist. The risk is going to be for anyone walking out of their house from now until if and when this thing gets contained, which I don't know. I mean, what are you waiting for? The vaccine, and then we have to wait for that to work? Like, that's just not real. That's not a reality.
Murray, if that's the bar, forget it. We're not going to play.
Yep.
We're not going to play. If that's the bar, forget it. It's gone. There is going to be risk. Some of these guys are going to get sick. It's going to happen. No, they may or may not have symptoms, but they're going to get the virus. It's so I hear Duchene's comment. I said this yesterday. I don't think Duchene wants to play, if I had to guess. And again, I don't blame him for it. So I want to make that part of it clear, because there is a tendency to look at this sort of thing when you get into this discussion and say, yeah, this guy's a wuss. He doesn't want to fight through it. Not what I'm saying. I'm saying that for whatever reason, maybe it is fear, which is a good one, by the way, because I'm not sure I would play if I were an athlete. Some of these guys don't want to go out there. Now you have a football player saying the same thing, like, hey, you know, this thing is transmitted human-to-human contact. In fact, the more that we hear about the virus, the more that we learn that that is really the number one thing, and that we're even finding that reports out there today that it doesn't necessarily transmit on surfaces, or at least not very well. That's good news for society, good news for sports. Bad news, though, if you're a contact sport like the NFL. And I think you're hearing more of this now, and this I do consider to be a significant and potentially major obstacle when teams are ready to return. John is in Nashua. Go ahead, John.
Yeah, I just wanted to get your input. I was young at the time, but Magic Johnson coming back in the NBA, I know there were some outspoken people against it, but obviously they ultimately ended up letting him play with HIV. And it feels like the outcry right now, I'm not downplaying COVID, but just curious to get your input on that. It's apples and oranges, but yeah, just curious. I'll hang back.
No, look, it is apples and oranges, but it's not an entirely wrong thing to bring up. Murray, do you remember any of this?
Vaguely. I mean, I was 12, 13, whatever it was, when he came back, and I remember there was a lot of uproar because, like, there was so much unknown about HIV at that time, and there was a lot of misinformation, kind of like how there is now. But people were, you know, afraid, and they didn't really want to defend him because they thought they might get it by touching him, you know?
Well, Isaiah Thomas, obviously, he's still taking some heat from saying he didn't want to play with him from then, and... You know, that's lived on now since the early 90s. So
it's 30 years, basically.
You know, but to add to all this, like, you know, there are people with families. To Jim's point, there are health issues at home. Like, I don't know. I wonder what they would do. Like, would there be like some sort of like, you know, commissioner's list or something like that? If these, you know, does it hurt their salary cap? Do they get paid? Is it service time? Like, I wonder if that's some sort of discussion that's going on.
Okay. So, Joe, I would think that if players opt out, if they are given the opportunity to opt out, and look, baseball has already indicated that a lot of those guys with underlying health issues or serious concerns are not going to be forced to play. Trey Mancini, the Orioles, and I haven't read all the details, but I know that Mancini was diagnosed with some sort of cancer. Yep. Trey Mancini, I'm sorry, Murray, go ahead.
No, yeah, I was agreeing with you, yeah.
Yeah, Trey Mancini's not going to play, and I don't blame him. I mean, to me, that one's an easy one. Anyone who thinks that Trey Mancini's wussing out or something, you're missing the point. He shouldn't be out there, plain and simple. I'm talking about guys that are healthy. And there are now stories, for example, that one of the things that I think is a positive development here in the last day is that there is a report out there with baseball players responding to some of the parameters that owners have put in or the league is trying to put in with regards to safety. And they're actually looking at it and saying it's too restrictive in some cases. No, we need more freedoms. These aren't enough. If you want us to come back and play, you got to give us the whirlpool. You got to give us the trainer's room. We need that stuff. Otherwise, we can't play. So that to me is a good sign. It means that they're focused on some of the things they need to get back on the field. In the same breath, I'll tell you that someone like Mike Trout has told MLB, under the current protocols, we're going to be tested multiple times in a week. Multiple times in a week's not good enough. If we're not tested every day, I'm not coming back. So there are players that have serious, major concerns about this, as well they should. And I do think that that is a more significant obstacle than maybe some of the other stuff. Estelle is in Maine, wants to touch on something I think we'll get to a little bit later in the show, but we'll entertain it now. Estelle, what do you got?
Hello?
Yes, Estelle, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Okay, I just want to say that I'm 89 years old, I love football, and I've waited a long time for Brady. I am heartbroken because he's gone, but I do not fault him because I'm sure he had a very good reason.
Okay, Estelle, thanks, Estelle. Thank you for the call. Be well.
And that reason is the coach was a dick.
Exactly, Murray. My guess is that she falls on that side of it, if I had to guess, for sure. All right, top of the hour here. Here's what we're going to do. Joe Murray's going to get you caught up on headlines. And then in the event you missed it, Peter Gammons, longtime baseball guru, and I was going to say know-it-all, but that comes off as negative, and I mean it in the literal sense. Gammons knew everything for decades. Had an interesting comment about Mookie Betts here in the last day or so that I think is worth touching on because it does relate to the decision that the Red Sox made to trade away Mookie Betts. Again, Joe Murray's got your headlines. Jim Murray's in for Felger. Don't go anywhere, and we'll get to Mookie Betts next.